Inside Mac.
Coming to you from our broadcast headquarters at KNTS 1220 AM, San Francisco. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dean Orlando. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing there, Dina?
I'm doing well, Brad and Scott. Thanks.
You got some cool news coming up for us here.
I do. 1 million miles and $1 million, but that's only the beginning. Details on the Inside Mac Minute headline news. I do have news.
Oh, lots of cool stuff there. Hey, and the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4. MCE Technology is the place to get a new MacBook, MacBook Pro, DVD XDV. Very cool software to take your content off a DVD and stick it into another application. They got a brand new website, so that's definitely something you want to check out there at dvdxdv.com. FirmTech, the official storage provider of the Inside Mac radio program with the coolest true SATA solution, true backplane, no interconnect problems.
All perfectly spec'd.
Yes.
No issues.
Very cool stuff there. Check them out at firmtech.com. And our media partners, the Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information about all this cool stuff over at InsideMacRadio.com. So we have a very cool show lineup today.
Oh, yeah.
We have, of course, Philip Hodges this hour. Mm-hmm. He's going to be doing our, we're going to talk about post-production, all the news of the week for video production and what's going on with the broadcast industry. We're going to have Andy Shallett, the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box tip, giving us a tip about how to transfer large files around without clogging up your email. So Andy's going to come on and talk about a couple of services that he's using to transfer large files around. So you're working with a client and you're trying to send these big image files around and stuff like that. How you can do this without clogging your gig up.
Right, not just send somebody like an email of a 1 gigabyte attachment, downloading forever, little button, little thing spinning around on your Mac.
Right, yeah, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to have Samuel Levin doing his cool Mac picks. We're going to have Kevin Ames is going to be in here at some point from Atlanta. Kevin is in town doing a big seminar tomorrow about digital photography and workflow in San Francisco, and Kevin's going to join us, and we're going to talk about all kinds of cool things. So we expect Kevin here sometime during the show. And then in the second hour, we're going to have Lorraine Romero on. She is the president of the North Coast Macintosh User Group. They have a big thing coming up here in October as their big annual fair.
But our big thing is the party.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too. So we're going to talk about the gig with the NC User Group Mac Fair that's going on and all their speakers and the cool stuff going there. We're going to talk about
the party.
What Inside Mac's doing at Mac
Party.
We got a party going on. We have a hotel block at the Renaissance Park 55. Special deals for everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about all that kind of cool stuff. Dina, of course, is going to be with us doing the Inside Mac Minute daily news recap of the week of all the cool things that happened in the Lando Mac. We're going to have Wilson Rothman on from Time Magazine talking about his gadget of the week, the Apple 80 gig iPod.
Yeah. This
we're going to have Wilson on.
Yeah, this is big.
And Wilson does a lot of stuff. He writes for Time Magazine, but he also stuff for New York Times and all kinds of people. So Wilson's going to be with us in the second hour talking about his thoughts on the 80 gig iPod and what's up with Apple and all that kind of cool stuff. So it should be pretty fun.
We got a kicking show coming up.
Yeah, and then this week you've been experimenting with sending uncompressed high def to a projector.
It's
the home theater experience.
Yeah, well, not only that, but I had to run it over like about 20 miles of cable to get there. So I'll talk about that a little bit later, but it is really quite cool if we get a chance. But it's quite great. I mean, you can literally, everything is digital now, so you can basically, send something from your computer and watch it, on your big screen projector in, full all of its glory. It's great. And all you need to do it is just the standard stuff you probably already have in your wall as it is now. If you've got cable TV, you may be able to do this already.
Right, because we talked about earlier about running stuff over RG59 over coax cable.
Yeah, but you might already have it in your walls. You could run from your computer to your projector if you got the money and the inclination to do it.
There you go. But everybody wants that home theater in their house,
That's right.
So all you need is a Sony 4K projector and some footage from our friends over from Jannard and those guys over at Red.
Oh, yeah.
And you're dialed.
Yeah, that's what everybody's going to be watching soon.
Yeah, too bad you can't rent movies on a 5 terabyte hard drive, right? So you can watch it in high def uncompressed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cool stuff. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Call. Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X, now universal binary with a DVD that is dual side, dual boot, one for Intel, one for PowerPC chips, and they've upgraded Disk Studio and
you can Protégé, get the Protégé, yeah.
All working for universal binary.
So I gotta get one. I love it.
Tons of cool stuff going on over there. Check those cats out over at Micromat.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, a digital production buzzmeister, with all the cool post news for the week. Also, Philip is a keynote presenter now for the Academy. Hello, Philip.
Yes.
The Academy. Tell us about
your keynote gig.
The TV Academy, not the Film Academy.
Oh, so that's the little brother of the Film Academy.
Yes, I guess that's the case. It's the next TV symposium coming up on November 4th, and I've been asked to keynote that symposium.
So who else could they have better to do it except the Buzzmeister? That's very cool stuff, though. Congratulations.
Awesome,
on that.
Awesome, man. Yeah, that's totally cool.
I'm looking forward to it. It should be interesting.
And when is this going to be, if people want to find out about what's going on with this whole gig?
It's going to be on November 4th. You can go over to the Academy website. I think that's academy.tv. And then you can navigate to their events, and you'll find events on November 4th.
Yeah, it should be rocking. It'd be a totally fun gig. It'd be worth checking out.
Speaking of totally fun gigs, is that Sony has introduced a HVR V1U. Now, this is the American version of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and the European version was the V1E, which they announced the day before IBC. The cool thing about this is it's a 1080 24p and a true 24p, not that trickery sham thing that they did in the Z1U and the FX1. This one is a very real 24p progressive scan capture.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the specs on this thing? When's this shipping, and has anybody seen any footage from it compared to Sony's current offerings?
They're going to ship around December, so it's going to be not real current. So I don't know that anyone's seen footage. For, I think I've seen something from Douglas Spiegel that said that it's a quarter-inch CCD, which means it's a little bit smaller than the third-inch that we've been used to, which should, in theory, make it a little less light-sensitive and a little bit less good for depth of field. But in practice, it seems to be quite good.
What's the price point on this one?
Just under $5,000, $4,800 US is the MSRP.
Oh, wow. And that's great. That's fantastic.
And it's also got, you know, time code preset, time code links, so you can synchronize multiple cameras if you're in a multicam situation. You got the two XLR inputs for microphones, and you can adjust the camera profile for multiple settings to match multiple cameras in multicam operations. And it's got this very cool, super slow record mode where you can do 8 seconds at of 240 frames per second. Basically, you capture it and then reduce it down to seconds. At 1/8 speed.
So you can catch, like, the guy doing an Evel Knievel leap off of, you know, over the cars and then crashing into, you know, the wall and stuff like that. And, you know,
yeah, you get 6 seconds of capture, so you'd better time it accurately. Hey.
Yeah. Extreme sports, you know, 240. That's cool, yeah. Super slow-mo.
Yep, and it'll do 24p or 30p or 60p. Well, 60p? I didn't think you could do 60p 1080. I'm sure that's 60i.
Yeah, well, no, actually, there is 60, well, depends. Depends on the, yeah, it's possible, yeah.
It doesn't fit into the transport stream profile, though, for MPEG. It's just a little high data rate for that.
Yeah, well, they just, you know, it's probably going to be a little garbagey, but, you know, it'll get you there.
It's still going to fit within 18 megabits per second.
Yeah.
19 megabits per second. But you also, there's an option 60 gig hard drive with it.
Oh, that's cool. Wow.
Which also fits any of the existing DV cam or DV cameras from Sony.
Yeah, so that basically allows you to kind of run and gun it really fast. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Plus you've got real tape. Hey.
Yeah, that's really
I like
good.
Tape.
That's very good.
And if you want to do some encoding, once you've got this captured, once the WASP Mighty Cleaner from Autodesk now has been kind of overshadowed a lot lately by newer offerings, and particularly by the fact that on Mac doesn't work at a QuickTime 7.1. Just when they released the 6.5 update, they waited a week and they broke again. And Autodesk have been very quiet until this last week. They've said that along with a 1.51 updater for Cleaner XL, that's the version that works on the Heathen boxes, they're going to update and release an update for Cleaner 6.5, called 6.5 to 1.1, and it'll be available sometime soon on the Autodesk website, and it will be compatible with QuickTime 7.1.3.
Yeah, I love Autodesk because they're just like, buy it before it's gone forever. You know, buy it before we kill it. That's
yeah,
the way they're
well,
promoting the product.
I think we have already killed it's all intents and purposes by not maintaining it.
Yeah, buy it while you still can because it's going to all be gone soon and we're not going to sell anymore.
Well, the question, Philip, for people that don't know what Cleaner is, you know, it's a tool to compress video. Now, why would I want to use that? Or would I want to use that over Compressor or, you know, anybody else's tools, Compression Master, that's now part of the whole Flip for Mac, Telestream guys deal? Why would I want to use this?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, we don't know that answer to that question either.
There are a couple of things in QuickTime Era that Cleaner still does very well. It's much easier to create QuickTime Ultimate with Cleaner the way it is, and it is a little bit more flexible. Sometimes I find that Compressor fights me and won't let me do the things that I want to do. Like, for example, at one point I wanted to encode MP4s at H.264 at 480 by 360, but it wouldn't let me. That's become superseded by the fact now that iPod video is 640 by 480. We might as well use that anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I sometimes find that Compressor fights me, but Cleaner was the gold standard at one point, but these days I think it really has been superseded by the Episode is what the new name for Compression Master is. Episode and Episode Pro.
So Compression Master Pro is really the new product out there.
Yeah, it's the most similar to Cleaner as to what it was when it was great, and it's now supported by a fairly substantial company that's really interested in that particular space, whereas Cleaner at Autodesk is not really core to anything they do in their main business, so it kind of gets put on the back shelf and not treated very well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Avid only shipped into play.
Really?
So you've got, I know you'll all be itching for this to sit on top of your $100,000 Unity system. You'll be able to spend another $18,000 and up to put into play on. But it's a new advanced level of management, of searching, archiving, viewing, logging, transcoding, dual resolution encoding, intelligent tracking, multiple resolution proxy files, all within an Avid workflow. But it's very much a niche product. They showed this at NAB, and now it's shipping.
That's cool. I think the most impressive things about the Avid system is how much, the price. Just how impressive that price is, how much you can pay. That's what's so impressive about it.
Yeah, they can do some things that you can't otherwise do, but they are still the market,
Yeah.
Philip, thank you so much. You can find out more information on Philip Hodges' great radio program on Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Thank you, Philip. We'll look forward for more stuff there, and we have some more goodies coming up here in about a month. We got NAB in New York City, so we'll talk about that next week of what's going on and the podcasting summit and cool stuff there. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity.
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you've got some great content you've created, it's on a DVD, you want to pull it off, bring it back into iMovie, Final Cut Pro, you name it, anything that takes a QuickTime file, you can do this. I got a brand new website, a new version of DVD-XDV Pro, all kinds of cool stuff with direct iPod 640/480 export. Check them out at DVDXDV.com. Right now we're here with Andy Shallop, the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box book, and he's got a tip today about transferring files for your clients or just anything you need to send around the web that's big and you don't want to clog up your email. Hey, Andy, how you doing?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Good. So tell us, you have a tip for us today about how to send around goodies.
Yeah, I just spent a week with some big corporate clients, and corporate clients love to deal with acronyms and stuff, and I was listening to them talk about startups and this and that, and they're talking about OPM or other people's money, and I started thinking, as a designer, when we're sending files out, you want an OPS. You want to use other people's servers, other people's storage. And I found a few sites online that really help us out. So when you have this week I had to send a 120-megabyte file. I'm not going to send that through my .Mac account. I don't want to upload it to my FTP site because that's just going to clog everything up. And so there are two sites that I've been using. One is called sendthisfile.com. And by the way, they're free. Sendthisfile.com is one, and that works great with Safari. And the other one is called YouSendIt, Y-O-U, YouSendIt.com, which works great with Firefox. What you do is you send up your files. You upload, you start an account, a free account. And you can also have paid accounts, depending on, of course, your volume. But you send these your files up, you upload them on, and they send out an email to your recipient, and they download it at their leisure from their email. So you're not clogging up your site, you're not clogging up their site with email. I think it's great. You can do it. It really is fast with, 10-megabyte files I don't like to send on email. I used to have a very small email server, and 10 megabytes would screw everything around. So this is a great little solution for getting your big files across to your clients, and it's professional and it's fine. And you can even have them logo sponsor it so that you can have your logos on your emails and things like that if you want to pay for it. But for designers and for anyone who has a lot of big files to send, someone sent me a TS folder last night from a DVD via this file, this thing.
And really? How big was that? Was it 4 gig?
It was only about 700 megabytes.
Wow.
You don't want to send 700 megabytes through your email,
and,
do you?
And so you send it, we'll take it at 700 megabytes?
Yeah.
Really? And that's free?
Actually, he didn't use YouSendIt. I told him, because this is someone who's not familiar with Firefox, YouSendIt is not compatible with Safari. So I use Firefox for that one. But for sendthisfile.com, yeah, he did.
Oh, it was worked. Free. Sendthisfile.com.
Yeah, well, it was on his account, so I don't have to. You see, you have an account, you do have a throughput.
still, it's cheaper than mailing it, I imagine,
Also, it's instant. As people want their files immediately. I'm sending proofs constantly. We have printers sometimes in Hong Kong. You've got to send them these things. They just download, they get the email. It's got a link, tells you who sent it and what it is, with the name of it and the description you get to put in. It's a great little service. Years before, when we didn't have .Mac, there was a file server called XDisk or XDrive.com. I think they're still around. But this is what I used to tell my students to do, was use this for sending and storing files to your clients so that they can see proofs and things, because it's the same system, but this one is really attuned to email. It's a great, great way to do it and save you the hassle. Like I said, OPS, other people's servers.
That's cool. Great tip, Andy. Thank you so much. How do we find out more information about Andrew Shallop?
You go to shallop.com and you read all about me. And you'll see there's even a link right back to Inside Mac Radio there.
Oh, right on. Andy, thank you so much. We always love to hear from Andy. Andy will be back with us next week with more cool tips for the creative professional that wants to...
Groovy tips.
There we go. Groovy, brother. Cool. There we go. Thanks, Andy. Next up here, we're going to be talking with our little buddy, Sammy Levin, about some cool Mac goodies of the week. You're listening to Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Dr. Mac Levitis. If you need troubleshooting, training, advice, or technical support for your Mac, we can help. We can resolve most Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively, and we guarantee it. Plus, our cool internet-enabled remote control software lets us work with you no matter where in the world you happen to be. For more info or to schedule an appointment, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new Mac Pro, MacBook Pro, MacBook, a new 80-gig iPod, you name it, upgrades for your Power Mac, for your G3, for your G4, for your G5. Whatever you need, check those guys out. They're very cool over at MCE Tech. That's mcetech.com. Dina, coming up here later in the hour. Next hour, we have more news. Tell us some more. Give us a little more tease here. What's coming up?
Well, who's got good things to say about Apple? Just about everyone. That story coming up on the Inside Mac Minute headline news.
Cool. Thank you, Dean. And right now, we're here with Sam Levin, the man with the cool Mac picks. How you doing, Sammy?
Fantastic, Scott, Dina, and the rest of the crew. Lots of
cool.
Hi,
I'm the rest
stuff.
Of the crew.
Yeah. How many people there?
Us
That's
three.
It, right?
Yeah, hey, how's it going, man?
All right, so... the guys from Sonic Impact Technologies, they've been around. They're the guys that make the zipper speaker case. They had it about a year and a half ago, they came out with that zippered case. But we're not going to talk about that case in particular. We're going to talk about their really cool shelf speaker called the T24 speaker. It's a lacquered black speaker for the iPod, fifth generation iPods. That means anything with a dock connector will fit. And it's a really nice design. It's kind of got this curve to it, and it fits on a shelf. It's got an IR remote. It's $199, but the sound that comes out of this is pretty nice. These guys at Sonic Impact are known for their amplifiers, and they're known because they're inexpensive, yet they deliver really good power. They've got a number of different products in the market for the iPod. They're made for iPod as well. You can check them out at si-technologies.com. It's Sonic Impact, and they make a whole range of speakers for the iPod, other things you can plug into it, other MP3 players. The T24, you can also plug a monitor into it, so it's fully functional for video. So if you have a video iPod, you can plug it into a TV if you want to. It's really nice. It's available today from a whole line of different resources, from their site, from mass retailers across the country. Check it out today from Sonic Impact, and that's called the T24. Also, our friends from Noreve out of Saint-Tropez, it's called Noreve, Noreve.com, have come out with a line of MacBook Pro Apple sleeves. They're really, really nice. They're made of high-quality calfskin leather, and they come in four different colors, black, camel, pink, sandy vintage, as they call it. Very, very well constructed. They're $89.49. I love that pricing, $89.49. Where did they get that, Scott? it's because of
$99.99, and that's not it. You'll also get
no. It's because of the euro conversion. They just don't figure out that that's not the way it should be. It should be $89.99 or something. They're expensive, but they're really well designed. And there's not a lot of sleeves like this because they're made of leather. It's from a company called Noreve. That's www.noreve.com. They're out of Saint-Tropez, and they make an entire line of cases for the iPod, for the Nano, for the PowerBook, the iBook, and now the MacBook and the MacBook Pro. I really like their stuff. We actually feature them. Brad and Scott featured their stuff back in February on Inside Mac TV, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're basically making things out of Saint-Tropez, which is really high-end, You got to make good stuff because that's high rent district,
it's
right
there.
It's
high rent, and but I love their stuff, and they're really good to us. And I keep saying that we need to do a little trip to Saint-Tropez to really check out the quality.
There you go. The next Inside Mac TV segment coming from Saint-Tropez, the Riviera.
So a lot of new things, guys. Yes, the Griffin Tune Center is shipped. We're waiting to get our batch. So in the next, I would say, 2 weeks. We'll have Tune Centers. They're not the Wi-Fi edition. I know Scott's been waiting for it. you'll get the wired edition, Scott, if that's okay with you.
Fine with me. It's all good. We all just want to integrate our media into our living rooms.
Got a lot more next week.
Sammy, thank you so much. That was Sam Levin with his Cool Mac Picks. And next up, we're going to talk about bringing media into the living room.
Cool.
You can't get an ITV yet, but you can. We'll tell you how to do something else.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by FirmTech, the official storage provider of the Inside Mac Radio program. Very cool stuff. They make true serial ATA SATA backbone, where it's just like, well, I think they've had this out for quite a while, and Apple does it now with the Mac Pro.
Yeah, it's basically a tray that you just slide your drive in, and you just pop it in and go. There's no cables.
And the actual spec for the SATA spec is backbone.
It's completely compliant, so that means that you're not going to get flakiness. It's going to work really well.
So it's pretty cool stuff. You can check them out. They got a bunch of great stuff. They have solutions for the MacBook, MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Not MacBook, but a PowerBook, MacBook Pro, and then G4s, G5s, Mac Pros, all that stuff. So you can check it out over at FirmTech. It's F-I-R-M-T-E-K, FirmTech.com. So right now, let's talk about, you know, last week, Andy Shallot talked about using his Mac Mini and hooking it up to his television with his DVI to HDMI connector deal.
That's kind of low end.
And then you and a lot of people, because of the price now, you can buy projectors for around $1,000.
Yeah,
even less.
Yeah, even less. I mean, you can get if you just want to talk about doing just enhanced definition television, well under $1,000. Yeah, you can get a good solid projector for under $1,000. So, and if you want to get a good, I mean, I found myself a really good what's called 720p, which is 720 lines of horizontal of vertical resolution for about $3,000, and it's very bright, so I can leave the lights on in the room and still see the screen.
So let's talk about projectors. If people don't know, it's rated on this lumens.
Yeah.
Okay, the amount of light that comes out, and then one you found is 720. Now, typical, if everybody doesn't know, television is 720 pixels by 480 tall is normal.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, 720 wide by 480 tall.
Now, the projector that you got does
720 lines higher. So it's basically it's a good substantial amount more.
It's 720 wide, but it's 720.
No, I'm sorry. It's 1280
wide. 1280
wide
by 720 p, and p means that every line is being drawn on the screen or projected. Where television is interlaced, where it like draws the top line.
We're gonna drop ourselves into a hole trying to explain.
Yeah, okay, but either way, it's very cool looking video.
Yeah, it's very
or
cool.
Television is very cool when it's progressive. This thing. So.
Well, here's the deal, and you know, it's like some people like to buy DVDs and they go, I got a nice DVD that I'm gonna upscale this projector or something. But now with consumer cameras coming out that suit high definition, fairly inexpensive cameras, how are you gonna play this back in your television? How can you play back a bunch of them on your television? Well, one of the things that I've always been exploring was they have these fairly inexpensive cards for your Macintosh. Fairly, I mean, is they cost maybe about $500, $600, $700. But they can send out a signal, which is all high definition, a digital signal, high definition, which then you can travel a long distance, about 300 feet of cable. So if you have cable TV in your house, you can use this wire to run a high definition signal with audio embedded in it back up to your projector. Because if you, if you're kind of high end like me and you've got your G5 and you've got a SATA RAID, which is a terabyte five drive RAID configuration, and you don't want to see like compressed video. You want to see like high def video, like the real deal, no compression. Then you can do this fairly inexpensively. You just connect up your computer up to your RAID system, and you plug in one of these cards. They're both made by either Blackmagic or by AJA, which also make these cards.
So let's talk about that.
And you go.
Let's talk about the interface now. We have a Macintosh, okay, because we're talking about Mac here. I have a Mac. It's in my house somewhere.
Yeah.
I need to get this, in theory, I've already gone through all the steps, and I have this uncompressed video, this 8-bit or 10-bit, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I want to get it out of my computer, out of my hard drive somehow.
Yeah.
To my television set or my projector or something.
Yes.
Some device to view this on that's really cool quality. Now, what options do I have price-wise? Is it going to cost me a ton to get this out of my Macintosh? Well, an AJA makes a box that runs over FireWire.
Right.
Called the AJIO box.
Yes.
And it'll do HD SDI.
Yeah, but what you want to do is you want to basically, you'll need two devices. You want to be basically send this, you know, plug the HD SDI, which is a little, what's called a BNC connector. You want to plug that into your wall by a cable television outlet. And then you want to basically connect up the cable television link to run back to your projector. So it's going to run over normal standard coaxial cable like you already have in your wall if you've got cable television. You just need to get your computer to it. And so then at the other end, what you get is a little device called the HD Link, or that's the one by Blackmagic, and there's one by AJA. That's about a $500 or $600 device. I mean, you know, let's face it, you know, if you're going to get a Blu-ray DVD player, it's going to cost you $1,000 anyways. So let's, you know, we're still
okay, so this device interfaces to the Macintosh via
yeah, DVI? It takes this little digital high-def signal, and it breaks it out into a DVI connector, which will plug into your, which can either go into a, you know, most projectors either have a DVI, which is one type of interface for high-def video, or they have HDMI, but you can get an adapter which will do HDMI. So effectively, it all works. You know, almost every projector shipping today has an HDMI interface, and so you just get the little adapter cable, plug it into your projector like I did, and you're streaming uncompressed high definition 1080i back to your projector, and it looks better than anything, really.
Right.
I mean, it's great.
You know, better than television, better than DVD.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. I mean, much better than compressed Blu-ray. I mean, if you've got, you know, and not everybody has access to it, but it's going to be coming because, you know, there's all these consumer cameras that shoot high def now. And it's like, well, you know, you want to go sit down and watch the movies. This is the only way to do it. You know, you can edit it on your computer. You can watch it back. And
so let's say I've rigged my stuff up to hook to my television or my projector.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any of this high-definition, uncompressed video footage. I just have a DVD.
Yes.
Can I still use... What's the... I mean, it's sort of useless then to use the Mac. Just buy a good DVD player.
Well, no, because effectively, you know, what happens is that the most... where the rubber meets the road in DVD players is how they take a little signal and they make it... You know, they take a little picture and they make it bigger. You know, it's called a video scaler. They take it small size because, you know, DVD player is a little teeny tiny picture and they make it big. Well, you can run this through, you know, program like Compressor, or you can run it through a ton of different video scalers. Take your video off of DVD, you know, with program like DVD-XDV. Take it off and then drop it into Compressor and have them upsample it to high def. And then you've got a really good image, you know, much better than what you're going to see out of your DVD player playing back out to your television.
So even if I buy a really good DVD player, I'm still going to get better quality, but I got to go through all these geek steps.
Yeah, you do. But, you know,
a DVD, okay, and then when it gets back to this whole thing of a DVD to watch in my home.
But you're future-proofing yourself now.
That's true.
You're future-proofing, and you can get all your DVDs onto a server. You know, these are unencrypted DVDs, so it'd be like home movies or stuff for people.
Yeah, what if I want to take Tombstone?
Oh, I'm not going there.
Okay. And I want to watch it on my TV in better quality. I want to upscale it.
Yeah.
You know, then we run into a problem because it's back to the whole...
Copyright issues.
Copyright. Yeah. But you know, here's the question is, if I bought the DVD, I'm not sharing it. I'm not charging for public display. It's in my own home.
Oh, yeah.
Why can't I just take the DVD and do what I want with it. And yeah, they say maybe, it's illegal.
Well, maybe someday the studios will lighten up on it. I think you should. You know, personally, I think that's the way it should be. But,
who's going to bust you, though?
Yeah. Really? What I'm hoping, yeah, I mean, really, realistically, but you know, what I think is really great about doing this whole project is that you're future-proofing yourself, you know, because I think really the future is going to be not a physical media, but it's going to be download. And I think really the future is not going out and buying discs, but it's going to be downloading movies and playing them back on your
projector.
That's
the whole thing. I was getting to that point, okay, because here's the thing. Let's say if I do take a DVD and I do whatever process that I feel is right morally,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and then I convert it and I go through all these steps and I upscale. First, I need a Mac Pro or a G5 Quad. Otherwise, it's going to take weeks to encode all this stuff.
Well, no,
then I got to have all this cool storage, so I got my 4-drive array from FirmTech that's got 2 terabytes in it. Now it's full of stuff.
Yeah.
And I went through all of this hours and hours of conversion to watch it on TV. I'm just better off buying it from iTunes and just streaming it over an ITV device when Apple ships one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
how much better.
Well, no, I mean, but that those iTunes right now is still standard definition. So if you want to go bigger, you want to go, you can always do it in ITV, but we don't know if ITV is going to be support high def. But I think really this is a great option for people that want to see true high def video in their home. I mean, and it's fairly inexpensive. It's not, I mean, like the cost
we
of
should
getting
actually,
a Blu-ray.
We need to do a test
player.
Using your gear to take a DVD, upscale it, re-encode it, bring the stuff in.
Yeah.
And then see what happens with it. So that's something we need to look at. But there's a little, you know, a little tidbit of information about viewing high-def, uncompressed video in the house, and we'll find out more. If anybody has a question about it or how they need to do it or if they want any more information, they can just email us at radio@insidemac.com, and we'll send you back. We'll answer your questions. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Show. Kevin Ames just walked in straight from Atlanta, so Kevin's going to be here with us for the rest of this hour and all of next hour, and we'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. If you want the publication to find out all the cool stuff going on in the world of film and digital photography and imaging, this is the place to go. You can check them out over at popphoto.com. Right now we're here with Kevin Ames straight from Atlanta, right from the airport. How you doing, Kevin?
Good, Scott. How are you?
Good. Now you're in town here for, you're doing a digital workflow series tour here with the guys from Blue Pixel.
That's right.
So tell us what you're doing here in San Francisco.
Well, I'm teaching at the Hotel Nico all day tomorrow. We're going to show people a practical way to manage their digital files and photographs. And it's everything from getting the images off of the smart cards and saved safely to DVDs, how to catalog them, how to add metadata, renaming schemes, everything that people need to know to be their own darkrooms using their laptops or their towers at home.
So are we going to start off with iPhoto, or do you jump above the whole iPhoto thing and just go hardcore straight up?
Hardcore straight up. Photoshop, CS2, Bridge. Going to show some things with Photo Mechanic. We're going to, throughout the entire program, I'm going to show people how to do color management. We're going to talk about monitor calibration. I'm going to actually show how to do that. It's a real practical experience as far as how to do all the stuff you need to do at the computer and do it quickly and efficiently so you can get back to doing what you love, which is making photographs.
Right. Because, you know, you can get all geeked out and spend all your time in front of a computer.
Go nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And have nothing to show for it. Plus, we've got two of the brand new HP printers touring with us. The new PhotoSmart B9180, which is just being announced in the photo magazines this month. I actually have one there, and I'm going to be showing some prints from them. We're going to talk about how to do printing as well. So it's a little miniature seminar on printing and how you do everything you need to do to get the photographs out of the camera and out for other people to see, whether you're proofing them to the web to a print, or I'll even show people how to make emailable PDF self-running presentations, Scott.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
That's going to be fun, yeah.
Now, if people want to actually go, you can still walk in the front door and sign up and do it. What's the deal with all that?
Well, like I say, it's at the Hotel Nico on Mason Street, and we start registrations at 8 in the morning. The show starts promptly at 9 and finishes at 4:30. And I believe it's $149 walk-in. And if they'll mention they heard it on Inside Mac Radio, we'll give them $20 off at the door.
How nice.
Very good.
Enough to buy lunch.
Yeah.
Or at least a snack.
It's not like, at the Nico, that's but one, yeah. one drink in San Francisco, $20.
Yeah, and that's water from what I understand. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a small glass.
Coming up here in the next hour, we're going to have some more time. I want to talk about you're going to use or what people should use to catalog stuff, because you can take thousands of images now because digital photography is basically free once you buy the gear.
Right.
Until your camera runs out after a couple hundred thousand pictures. But what do you do with all this stuff now? You know, people are building these libraries in iPhoto where there's, I don't know, how many you have in iPhoto?
Oh, 5,000? 10, 20,000. I don't know. I've got like 90 gigs of photos somehow in my hard drive.
Wow.
So here's the deal. You can put the stuff in iPhoto. That's great. It's free. It works very cool. Then there's programs like Aperture, and Aperture is really not a cataloging software. It's more of a workflow piece, and we should talk about these different things. And then there's software from this company called iView Multimedia.
Right.
It's iView now Multimedia. Part of Microsoft, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes, yes.
So those guys bought them. I guess they're going to continue to keep making Mac products.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, their number three employee, their technical guy, lives in Alpharetta, which is about 45 minutes from my studio. He comes down, and we talk about iView a lot. And so we work together on that, and there are a lot of things to talk about on how to manage these files and photos, and most of it can be done right on the Mac inside of Photoshop and Adobe Bridge.
Right, so you can do that stuff too. So there's another thing to talk about. So, you know, like you said, if you have a lot of images and you're doing a lot of stuff with iPhoto and you want to go to the next level and do different things with your images, then I think this is stuff we need to talk about. So we're here with Kevin Ames. Kevin is teaching at the Hotel Nico tomorrow in San Francisco. You can go over, find out more information at BluePixel.net,
or you can go right to my website, amesphoto.com. There's a banner headline. Click on it. It'll tell you everything you need to know.
Hey, we'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and this part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by American Photography Magazine, American Photo. You can check out all the things going on over there with some great stuff, cool images, all kinds of high-tech goodies for the high-end professional photographer. You can check it out at AmericanPhoto.com or PopPhoto.com. Everything is now integrated. Dina coming up here. Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News Program. Tell us about the news coming up here soon.
Well, Scott, the iPod shuffle function has caused some number enthusiasts to try and crack the code. Have they figured out if the shuffle mode is truly random? The answer coming up on the Inside Mac Minute Headline News.
Dina, thank you so much. Very cool there. And we are here with Kevin Ames, our buddy from Atlanta. Kevin is teaching this weekend here, tomorrow actually, at the Hotel Nico here in beautiful San Francisco. And he's going to be talking about workflow and stuff like that. It's what I want to touch on with Kevin. Kevin wrote a book called The Art of Photographing Women.
Yeah.
And you got a brand new version of it out now.
I do. It came out on my birthday, September 12th.
It's, well, happy birthday.
Expanded. Thank you. It's
so you're 21 now. You can legally drink.
I'm 21, and then I can legally shoot women. Yeah. I mean, with a camera. Oh, boy. Anyway, it's a newly expanded version. It's Photoshop CS2, The Art of Photographing Women. The workflow section has been completely rewritten. The projects have all been updated, and there's over a gigabyte of downloadable files on my website when people buy the book so they can actually do the projects, and all in high res now.
That's cool.
Yep, taking advantage of the broadband that everybody has, so now they can work like pros.
Well, you got a T1 line in your studio, so
I do. I do.
You're hardwired with the real stuff.
You've got to these days because clients are demanding instant delivery of their work, and they want it right now.
Oh, no, they actually wanted it yesterday.
Well, they do, but you know my Wayback Machine is broken.
So, Kevin, let's talk about you want to expand from iPhoto. You want to go to the next step. What's a logical step for someone that's got 20,000, 30,000 images? They take digital photography. They take pictures all day, either from a point-and-shoot to a digital SLR. What's the next evolutional step to go with cataloging and storing your images and playing with them from there?
There are three ways to do it, Scott. Apple, of course, has Aperture out, which is a great program. It's not designed if you want to maintain your own file structure. It does that for you, much like iPhoto. Adobe is hot on their heels with a beta product called Lightroom. You can get that as a download from labs.adobe.com/Lightroom. It's a free beta right now. It runs on Mac, and I think they've just done it for that other platform too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the other one is to build a workflow around Photoshop and Bridge, which is what I've done, because when I started this craziness, there were no workflow solutions. And when I started doing raw files, Photoshop couldn't even open a raw file. So it all had to be done with third-party programs to develop the pictures, and then we proofed everything in Photoshop.
Now, you can do that route. Now, what about these other programs like Portfolio 8 just came out, iView Media Pro? What are these things compared to using Aperture, Lightroom, or Bridge with Photoshop? How does this go into the equation?
Well, iView Media Pro and Extensis Portfolio 8 are cataloging software. They're designed so that you can look at your images, but you're not necessarily working on the original files. They give you a reference back to where the original file is so you can find it. You can also add metadata and export it back to the original file if, say, you're working in DNG or on JPEG proofs. So it's more of a way of sorting and looking at your work, but not actually working on your work.
Right.
Now, iView and Extensis both have ways of proofing to the World Wide Web, which is very handy. And I carry iView on my laptop, and I've got ideas on my images, and I just keep playing them back and forth. I also have iView running on a big monitor, just going through my digital negatives, playing them back randomly, so I can see what's in my library that I might have forgotten about.
Cool, there we go. Kevin Ames will be with us for the rest of the hour. You can check his deal out at amesphoto.com. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro, the place to go if you want to get tips from creative professionals. They have a great forum, all kinds of cool stuff going on over there. You can check them out at creativepro.com. Right now we're here with Lorene Romero. She is the president of the Macintosh North Coast User Group organization. They have a big Mac fair coming up here, and then we want to talk about some other stuff we got going on. Hey, Lorene, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott. Thank you for having me back on the show. It's great to be back.
Oh, thank you. Now tell me, you guys got a big Macintosh fair type of gig going on here in about, what, 3 weeks?
Actually two.
Wow.
It's getting there. It's getting there. My little alarm clock's going off. The North Coast Mac Users Group is having our 14th annual Mac Computer Expo, and it is pretty much the largest Mac Expo north of San Francisco. And, you know, it's not put on by one of those huge corporations like IDG. It's done by a volunteer user group. We're located in Santa Rosa, California. And it's our 14th year in a row, and it's been a success year after year.
So tell us, who's going to be there? There's people that you guys have a little expo component, and then there's people that are speaking so you can learn stuff about your Mac. And tell us what all the cool activities are for that day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The event runs from 9:30 to 3:30. It's free. We do not have a door charge. The campus does charge $3 for parking, but, you know, that has nothing to do with us. We have vendors who are there all day long. We have about 25 to 30 of them, and that includes Bias. We have Mac Addict. We have Microsoft. We have a whole bunch of places, large companies, small companies, first-time people coming like Fujitsu. We have Tropical Software, a whole bunch of ranges from huge companies like O'Reilly and Microsoft down to the little guys and the very friendly. We also have 9 speaker sessions. There's 3 different groups ranging from 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 2 o'clock. Speakers range from Derek Story to Jim Hyde to Joe Kissel. We have somebody from Apple who's going to talk about a GarageBand. We have Burt Monroy. We have Ronnie Roach, who is a local ACN. She's also on our board of directors, and she'll be talking about backing up your Mac. And, you know, it's a whole range from digital photography to basic Mac stuff. We've got it going really well this year, which is great. And we have a brand new component that we haven't had before, and it's free computer recycling. We are going to have people come bring their computers at no charge to be able to recycle them. That includes monitors, keyboards, computers. The only limitation is you can only bring 10. That's a lot. And they won't take any copiers. But other than that, pretty much anything is ready for them to take away.
Oh, come on. I want to bring some copiers down. I love all those drums of toner hanging out. The heavy metals and the goodies. That's pretty cool. Where do we find more information about the gig going on?
Sure. It's on our website at www.ncmug.org. And our wonderful webmaster, Stephen Henry, has an icon that will be on your right-hand side that says MCE. When you open it up, it will talk about everything that you could possibly know about it.
Very cool. Now let's talk about some stuff we're working on here for Macworld San Francisco that we've been working with you for years on. Give our listeners a little rundown of what we got going.
Absolutely. The first thing we want to talk about, because this is going to be an ongoing project, and I'm looking forward to it because you and I work well together, we are going to have another Macworld San Francisco launch party, and it's presented by the Inside Mac Radio show, which is you. It's an awesome show. It will be held Monday night, January 8th, and it's going to be located at the Park 55. This party's free for everybody to come who's an attendee. That includes the attendees of the actual conference as well as the vendors. And we've already got some vendors interested in doing that. Can't disclose their names right now because it's too early in the game. But people loved it last year. We had a whole chocolate bar thing going. You know, everybody was excited about the keynote, about the whole event, and Wired On chocolate and coffee. It was great. We had a blast last year.
Yeah, so that's going to be a pretty fun deal. Like you said, it's free. It's going to be at the Renaissance Park 55. And we also have a hotel deal going, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You work really hard with the Park 55 year after year, and it's showing. And we're going to have the Inside Mac Radio room block, which is great. It's $199 a night, and I know people are going to go, oh, but it was less last year. But there's many reasons. You get to include a free breakfast as well as free internet connection. And also, we also know that things are repairing after 9/11, so San Francisco's not starving for business anymore, and they can charge what they want. But I know that that's a really good deal because you are able to get a breakfast as well as internet connection. And, I'm going to be working with vendors to be able to get some freebies for people, whether they're books or software. People will definitely be rewarded for signing up with your room block.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you can actually call 1-800-697-3103. That is the reservation line for the Renaissance Park 55 in San Francisco, and give them the word Inside Mac. And like Lorraine said, it's $195 for the room, and that includes free internet access and free breakfast there at their second level atrium restaurant that I think is it's a buffet deal. It's like $25 breakfast. So
it's a real good deal. You've done very well on this one.
And then we're going to also have another program, too. If there's going to be multiple people sharing the rooms, then we're going to work on another program with them right now so we can have, like, you know, 2 breakfast gigs per room.
Great.
So we'll have that information up on the website sometime next week. But I wanted to talk about it here with you and all that stuff. So if anybody has any ideas about the party, how do they get a hold of you about the party, the stuff going on at Macworld, and, of course, your gig coming up here in 2 weeks?
Absolutely. Again, for the Mac Computer Expo, they can go to our website at www.ncmug.org. If you would like to email me personally, you're welcome to email me at loreen@mac.com, and that is spelled loreen@mac.com, and I'm happy to correspond with you about the party, MCE, or the room.
Loreen, thank you so much for that information. We're going to have you back here in a couple weeks. Maybe we should actually have a live report from your gig coming up on there in 2 weeks on Saturday to see how things are going.
That would be great. I would love it.
That'll be cool, and then we'll have more information and you reporting back here regularly about the party and what's going on at Mac. We're all ramping up now. We've got about, you know, a little less than about 3 months.
It's here before we know it.
Yeah, cool. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Very cool. So like you said, you can check that out. Cool stuff. Back here with Kevin Ames. Directly in from Atlanta, directly from the airport to the studio here.
Right. Do not stop. Do not pass go.
Yeah. Let's talk. We got about a minute and a half here. Let's go over a couple other things. Let's go for let's go through a little miniature workflow tour.
All right. The idea behind workflow is to get the pictures off of the compact flash cards and into a permanent archive. And that's not a hard drive because they're going to crash eventually. What I do is I copy the information on the cards to two hard drives. Then on my working hard drive, they're going to get renamed, going to add metadata, which makes searching easy. I'm going to do a quick enhance. I shoot all in RAW, so it's very easy to do in Camera Raw 3 inside of Bridge. And then I export Bridge as cache. That gets burned to a DVD. Now, here's the key, Scott. I copy the DVD. I just don't make another copy of the DVD from the hard drive. I actually copy the hard drive. Then I use the image processor in Photoshop to make a JPEG off of every RAW file on the second DVD. If that works, that DVD and the one I made it from are good, as well as the files on the hard drive. So I've got a permanent archive, and I've got a set of JPEGs that I can use for dragging into a catalog. So they're very useful, and that's a minute and 30 second version of workflow. And we use this in my studio to manage thousands of images on a fashion shoot. We'll actually be delivering those images up on the web within 45 minutes of the wrap of the shoot.
Cool, we'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Mac Update, the place to go if you want to get your Macintosh software updates. Cool stuff. Check them out, MacUpdate.com. Right now, we're here with Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News Program. Dina, tell us what's happening in the land of Mac.
Thanks, Scott. In 1 week, Apple has sold more than 125,000 movie downloads. Disney accounted for all of the movie downloads, which Disney CEO Robert Iger said brought in $1 million in revenue for the company. Iger said he expects the iTunes movie downloads to generate $50 million in added revenue during the first year. And Nike chimed in this week as well with its overwhelming stats. Nike announced that in just 10 weeks, runners had logged more than 1 million miles, which is equivalent to circling the globe more than 40 times. Nike's chief marketing officer, Trevor Edwards, said NikePlus.com is fast becoming the world's biggest online running community. It's a new way to train, a new way to connect with other runners, and a new way to bring music and sports together. He said in 1 million miles in 10 weeks is just the beginning. We're looking forward to the billionth mile. The release note said that Nike is continuing to expand Nike Plus product offerings and are creating original sport music content in the Nike Sport Music section of the iTunes Store. The company also has plans to launch Nike Plus iPod in more markets in Europe, including Spain, Italy, Germany, as well as Japan and Australia. And the new 80-gig iPod got an honorable mention in Time magazine. The iPod was reviewed by Time's Wilson Rothman, and he declared in the
He declared it the gadget of the week. He noted that since Apple has offered higher resolution for both movies and TV shows, the older iPods had a tough time. But since battery life has been extended, the 80-gig iPod can play 6.5 hours of it or more. He goes on to say it can hold a sizable music collection and still have plenty of room for movies. And what made him really happy was the earbuds. They actually fit his ears. Wilson Rothman is actually going to join us pretty soon to discuss the article. He'll describe in greater detail how he put it to the test and the results of those tests. The 80-gig iPod wasn't the only one receiving love this week. The 24-inch iMac was called a dream machine and was given 4 out of 5 stars by Computer Active. It was called a no-holds-barred, everything including the kitchen sink effort from Apple. The article said that most obvious feature is the 24-inch widescreen display that is perfect for watching movies, and the Intel Core Duo processor provides all the power any home user is likely to need for digital photography, video editing, or music composition. The report went on to say that even though the 24-inch Mac is still relatively expensive and may be an overkill for those who only use the computer to respond to email, it isn't a bad price for the top-of-the-range computer, especially when you take into account the sheer size of the screen. Meanwhile, an article in USA Today noted that Apple is moving even farther ahead of its competition with the enhanced 5G iPod, iPod Nano, and iTunes 7. The new iPod models and the refreshed iTunes 7 were put to the test and obviously passed, as the article said, the best of breed portable media players and jukebox software have gotten better. Adding gapless playback and the ability to sync your iTunes library between computers and adding iPod video game support add the value of Apple's media players and software. The article gave the iPod, iPod Nano, and iTunes 7 4 out of 5 stars and stated the creme de la creme of portable media devices is now richer. Creme de la creme.
Yay.
Very cool. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I never heard of it. Creme de la creme.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have enough time for this story, but I'm going to start it anyway. How random do you think the shuffle mode on your iPod is? Since Apple added the shuffle function to the main menu of iPods a few years ago, that very question has been asked by the New York Times, Newsweek, and debated on Slashdot and other websites, and has inspired a regular feature on The Onion. Okay, well, I will actually continue that story, and also I have a new Ferrari that goes 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds, and it offers one more thing that is even more intriguing for some. That story coming up on the Inside Mac Minute headline news continues, and I will finish the random shuffle mode story as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to try this test. I'm going to put 2 songs on an iPod and put it on shuffle. How many options do I get?
You think you can guess?
That'll
be up
like next.
Something like Dieter would do, you know?
Don't touch my monkey. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac Radio program. You can send these guys any kind of file from a Mac Paint to a crayon to something out of whatever, Photoshop CS2.
Mac Paint one.
That you learned how to do from Kevin Ames, and you want to print up these great postcards, you can send it over there. Check them out, printingforless.com. Real ink on paper printers, very cool stuff. Back to Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program. We were talking about, if I had 2 songs on my iPod, how many times would it shuffle?
Yes, we were talking about the randomness of the iPod shuffle and the actual iPod shuffle mode. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, random number enthusiasts are in the process of answering the question, does the shuffle function really play user songs in random order? People behind several of the web's major sources for random numbers at this point can't give a definitive answer, but the report claims computer programs can be used to generate a sequence that looks random, but the sequence can never truly be random. That's because the program must use some algorithm to go from one number to the next. Find the algorithm and you find the number. According to the report, true randomness must be based on the inherent unpredictability of our universe. So how would you know if your iPod Shuffle plays songs randomly? Can people recognize a sequence of numbers and know that they are random? One statistician said, people are notoriously bad at recognizing something as random. They tend to pay more attention when their favorite songs are playing and thus assume that those songs are in heavier rotation. This is an ongoing discussion. In fact, that article was way over my head. I couldn't go pretty deep. They're getting into the number sequence and all that. But anyway, if you want to find some scientific conclusions about the iPod Shuffle, there aren't any, but a new test will be conducted around Christmas time.
So yeah, I need to take my iPod.
They're going to have to call it the random play, but with little asterisks. And not truly random, according to blah, 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 blah.
Or else they'll be sued. Right.
I'm going to just plug my iPod into Stephen Hawking's wheelchair, and it'll talk to me. And they can figure it out, right?
You know, it's too bad he doesn't do a rap album. It'd be really cool.
I'm getting down.
There's a website. I'll have to get it for everybody next week. I'll have to find it. But there's a deal where it's... Stephen Hawking and Darth Vader. It's pretty trippy. It's really funny.
Well, on with the news. The colorful nanos were the subject of a recent poll taken by Macworld UK. They wanted to know which color was the most favored. Over 1,000 readers voted in the poll and preferred the nano color. The preferred nano color was black. That's good news for Apple, since the only nano that comes in black is the 8-gig model, which is the most expensive out of all of them. So where did the other colors place? Silver came in second. Next came green, then pink, and lastly blue. But here's an interesting note. Macworld UK said 233 readers mentioned that they would have liked white. So there's never really satisfaction among anybody around there, huh?
You've already got white. Well, white includes all of the colors in the rainbow. There you go.
There you go. And here's the Ferrari story. About a month ago, Apple reached an agreement with GM, Ford, and Mazda to integrate the iPod in their 2007 model cars. A few others have joined in also, such as BMW, but enter the Ferrari. The 599 Fiorano has 620 horsepower and can go from 0 to 60 in just 3.6 seconds, which I think is faster than the Tesla that I talked about a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they just upstaged them.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be my next car.
Oh, man. And like all Ferraris, it's absolutely beautiful. But according to Gizmodo.com, it's a funny website. I like that place. It's funny. It makes me laugh. Who cares about how it looks? The most interesting feature of the new car is it comes with an iPod dock connector as standard. So you'll be able to plug your iPod in and listen to the Fiorano's Bose speakers. The report stated, never mind the horsepower, buy a Ferrari 599 and use your iPod.
See, they put Bose speakers in a... in a Ferrari? That's just sacrilegious, man. They got to use real audio.
I thought Bose speakers were good.
No, Bose speakers are Kmart of speakers.
Oh, no.
They got to put speakers that cost $100,000 a speaker, you know. It's got to keep, you got to keep pace with it. Come on.
Oh, well, Dina, thank you so much for the great news. You can find out more information about Dina's daily news program over at InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Are you a real estate agent? Then listen up. I've got something for you. NewHomePodcast.com. It's an exciting new way to reach an audience of home buyers that really understand technology and are fascinated with the new podcasts that are springing up everywhere. Now imagine having a dedicated, rabid audience that is in the market to buy or sell a home and wants every edge in getting the latest information. Maybe they're relocating to your area, maybe they're upgrading or downsizing, maybe they're first-time home buyers that are brand new to the process. Well, you can be their guide. And do so with professionally produced, up-to-the-minute podcasts that are delivered automatically to their computers and iPods. And that means sales for you. We make it simple. We do all the online setup, all the production, all the delivery of the podcast. All you have to do when you want to do an episode is make a phone call. Now, we do this on a zip code exclusive basis, and zip codes are going fast. So go to the website to see if your area is still available. It's newhomepodcast.com. That's newhomepodcast.com.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by the Digital Production Buzz. You can check it out Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we're here with Wilson Rothman from Time Magazine. Hello, Wilson. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. So you write an article every week for Time called The Gadget of the Week.
That's right. You can find it at time.com/gadget.
That's very cool. Now, your pick for this last week or this week was the Apple 80-gigabyte iPod 5th generation, I guess generation 5.5 or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they still call it Gen 5, even though it's a little more advanced than the last one.
So what's your thoughts on this? You do a lot of, you cover a lot of technology stuff, just not Apple products.
Right, I cover everything. But obviously, like most tech writers and reviewers, I'm a huge fan of what Apple's been doing the last 5 years. The 80-gigabyte iPod is no exception. What I noticed, one of the biggest and best advantages of the new iPods is the battery life for video playback. The older video iPods tended to die.
About halfway through the film.
Yeah, I put the new version of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou on a 30-gigabyte iPod, and it ran the whole movie but died in the end credits.
So I like it like the die in the last part where they're going to solve the end of the movie, right at the end when you're going to find the big mystery. That's the point where you have to die.
And that's why it's not in the article, because that would have been funny, and I would have put it in the story. But it wasn't very funny. It just died after the movie was over, so there you go. But this one, the 80 gig goes 6.5 hours, and the 30 gig goes 3.5 hours. So you'll get your movie either way.
That's fantastic. And so really even the longest theatrical distribution is going to go all the way through, and you'll get to the end credits now.
Right.
Unless
and,
of course they and, get
you know,
the
80 gigs is great too, because each movie is about one to 1.5 gigabytes. So I actually synced. Believe it or not, I synced my entire music collection of over 10,000 songs, plus all the video in my iTunes library, to the 80 gig, and there's still like 30 or 40 gigs left.
Wow.
So you basically can just take all of this stuff that you have, CDs and DVDs, and just put them in the garage now.
Yeah. What's interesting is, for a while, that feature on the iPod, you can, on iTunes, you can sync everything or selected things to your iPod every time it docks. And you can sync your whole library. But for a while, that seemed weird because there wasn't enough space on the iPod to get your whole library. But with the 80 gig, every single song I own is on that thing, which is crazy.
Well, now you basically, you don't have to worry about storage. I mean, you don't have to worry about storing all of this music and everything and just go away. You know?
Right.
It's gone.
What do you think about the screen with the additional backlighting being brighter compared to the other models?
The brightness is nice. To be honest, I wasn't ever really put off by the lower brightness on the other one. But what obviously everyone was expecting a wide screen, and we didn't get it this time around. That's kind of why they still call it the Gen 5. That was maybe a bit of a disappointment. However, the screen's great. It looks good. I was watching The Incredibles and Oh Brother on it. And, LCDs sometimes can be slow. This one is not slow. You can see all the action.
Yeah, that's the one thing. If you look at other portable media devices, like by, anybody really, they don't put the quality into the screen. I mean, the screen actually on the iPod is very, very bright and, good color, good everything.
Right.
So yeah, you're right. It does make a huge difference.
I was playing with that. I mentioned that putting all those songs on my iPod, I was playing with it the other day here, the 80 gig, I should say. And I was scrolling through all the songs, and what happened was when I was scrolling fast, a letter of the alphabet appeared in the middle of the screen. And as I scrolled, I would be scrolling through letters instead of what you have now, which is artists or song titles or whatever. So you actually, automatically, when you scroll fast, you get the option of picking a letter to drop to, which, I mean, as anyone who's carried around a big, a full iPod knows, it's hard to pinpoint that one artist in the middle in like the J's or something. Now it's a lot easier. It took me by surprise, and a delightful surprise, I should say.
What do you think about the whole deal now with movies being integrated into iTunes and how Apple is integrating all this content and with this show, this device they've you know, previewed the ITV code name into the home.
Well,
what do you think about this whole
of it? I have thought that you know, there have been devices made by everyone from Linksys to Philips that could bring movies saved on your hard drive to the TV through Wi-Fi or whatever networking technology. The problem is no one had any movies on their DVD or their on their PCs, or if they did, they had them because they got them through back channels, shall we say. And this is a legal way of getting a lot of movies onto your hard drive and then, you know, putting them wherever you want in your house. I love the ITV, but as I said in my article, you don't have to wait for an ITV. I played back movies on a 42-inch Panasonic plasma through the 80-gigabyte iPod, and they looked fine.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. I was amazed, too. I was sitting there expecting to see, you know, the older videos you could download on iTunes don't look good on a regular-sized television. But
no,
these new
don't.
Ones, I'm not going to say they look great, but what they look like is, say you TiVo a movie on HBO or something. If you play that on your 42-inch plasma, it's going to look the same as an iTunes purchase.
Wow.
So, you know, it'll do.
See, I use my iPod video to keep my portfolio on it. I keep my photographs on it. And I can hardly wait to get the 80. I'm just really looking forward to it because I've got terabytes of digital photographs.
Right.
So well, you need the terabyte iPod.
Yeah, there you go.
Terabyte.
I can hardly wait.
Yeah. You're going to be able to see them all, though?
You got a few hundred years. You're good. You know?
Right. They'll have to invent a way to organize or surf through the pictures on your iPod that's as well as the music surfing.
Yeah, I mean, so effectively, you found that just to be the, you know, because again, you know, if you're dealing with the current generation of iPods, you know, something that happens is the storage goes up, you have larger and larger playlists, but this one is very transparent. You suddenly just, you press the button and boom, the letter appears and you're ready to just navigate everything. Did you find anything, you know, that you was not so great or things you'd like to see improved on it?
Well, I mean, again, with the widescreen, what you have to do, you have to make a trade-off. You either watch it zoomed in, where the right and left sides of the widescreen movie are just basically chopped off, and you know, it looks fine, but you're missing a little bit on the sides. So if it had a widescreen, then we'd all be a little bit more, you know, cinephiles would be a little more satisfied. But in general, I think that was a good thing. The one thing I noticed that's kind of, I'm not sure how much publicity it's been getting, is the fact that they've basically upgraded all of their video downloads on iTunes to this higher resolution format. And that's great for people who are just now getting an iPod, say the 80 gig or even the 30 gig, because of the longer battery life. But it's not necessarily as good for people who you know, have the older 5G iPod, or somebody who maybe, you know, already bought the full season one of 24 for like $48. Now it's out in a higher resolution. They got to go buy it again.
See, I'm so glad I waited.
There you go.
But, you know, maybe now's the time to buy.
Well, do you think that since they're giving us the widescreen version, even though the iPod itself isn't quite widescreen yet, that is a precursor of things to come?
I think there's no doubt in Steve Jobs' mind that there's a widescreen iPod somewhere. But obviously also, I mean, he's tipped his hand a little bit. He's telling us he's putting out a widescreen playback device in the spring. So this ITV, or whatever they choose to call it, you know, the ITV, remember, is just a code name. This ITV is gonna make full use of those widescreen files, and when you plug it into your widescreen TV, as I mentioned, like a 42-inch plasma or whatever you got, you know, it's gonna look great because you'll see the whole widescreen.
You know, that's the thing, too. I mean, everybody talks about this high def, and it's not high def, and it's this. But really, even with a 42-inch plasma, you sit down on the couch like 8 or 10 feet away. Can you really tell?
You can, like I said, you know, you can tell that it's not a DVD. You can really tell that it's not high def content.
Right.
But if the movie's good, I mean, here's the thing. If the movie's good and you're engrossed in the movie, your brain's going to forgive a lot of that.
Right.
And also, obviously, the convenience of getting it is pretty much going to trump the minor inconveniences of the picture.
Right. Hey, Wilson, we have about 35 seconds. How do we get to your website, find out what you're up to, and all the great things that you're writing about and doing over there?
Sure. Every Wednesday, just go to time.com/gadget, and you'll get the gadget of the week.
Great. Wilson, thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to have you back talking about more of this cool technology and what's going on.
It'd be my pleasure.
There you go. Wilson Rothman from Time Magazine. You can check him out at wilsonrothman.com, or like you said, you can go to time.com/gadget. He also writes for a couple other publications. So pretty cool stuff. Thank you so much, Wilson. You're here with Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. Personal Journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation. From your livelihood to the way you live, today's Journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including Personal Journal, for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by OSX FAQ. If you want to find out all the cool tips about your Mac, great stuff for Mac OS X, you can check it out at OSXFAQ.com. We're here back again with Kevin Ames, fresh from Atlanta, talking about he's in town doing a couple gigs, and you got your new book out. Let's touch on this stuff real quick here.
Well, tomorrow at the Hotel Nico, I'm doing a workflow tour for Blue Pixel. And Blue Pixel is a unique organization in that they're all professional photographers. I'm the only commercial guy. Everybody else is a photojournalist. They shoot things like Eco Challenge, Survivor, and are really heads-up photojournalists. And they realize that there's a component out there that's missing. They only let working professional photographers teach their seminars. So the seminar that I'm doing tomorrow is to help people get out from behind the computer quickly and back to behind the viewfinder so they can take more pictures. And I talk about how to safely manage their digital photography, how to get them off the cards and onto DVDs, into manageable libraries so that they can find them again quickly. We've gone beyond having a shoebox full of photographs and negatives where we know that, oh, well, where's the picture of Sarah's third birthday? Well, it's up on the closet shelf in the third shoebox. Now we've got so many photographs. And we're storing them on hard drives, and that's a big problem because hard drives crash. Anytime you have a hard drive, it's going to fail. And if it fails with all of your priceless pictures on it, there's nothing you can do.
You can pay a lot of money to drive savers.
And you still don't know that you're going to get them back.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really deadly.
Let's get a tip real quick. You were talking about archiving on a CD. What kind of CDs would you use to archive?
DVDs now. We don't do CDs anymore because the files are just too big.
But there's these things. Everybody's selling these gold things, this gold deal.
Well, you know, here's the tip. Buy any DVD that's made in Japan, and I've got this right from literally the horse's mouth. While I was doing this seminar last year in Washington, D.C., a guy came up to me and he says, the question about where to get the discs. He said, I'm the former chairman of the board of Philips Electronics. I forget the guy's name. He says, my name's on the patent for the CD and the DVD. And he said, any of them that are made in Japan are going to be just fine. And you can't get a better recommendation than the former chairman of the board of Philips Electronics, who invented the format.
Yeah.
And the thing that we don't need them to last 200 years because we're going to have new storage technologies coming along. And as soon as, for instance, Blu-ray or DVD HD, whichever wins, becomes ubiquitous, when you can get into a room and say, How many people have a Blu-ray disc in their computer and every hand goes up? Then you know it's time to go ahead and migrate your DVDs to the new format.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many people still have 5 1/4 inch floppy drives?
Well, I have some, but I still have
my Apple II.
I still have a working Apple II to use them in.
And so it's right. You know, it's absolutely right. Things are going to migrate. All those files can come from, you know, one media to the next media to the next media, and you're going to migrate.
Right. And what I know for a fact, because I just got through doing this a couple of years ago, I've been burning CDs and DVDs. Well, CDs since 1994, when a CD burner cost $4,000, wrote at 1X, and if you got 6 out of 10, $15 each CDs to burn, well, you were doing a great job.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I went back and we opened every single one of those up, copied them to hard drive, and migrated them to new media, and without a single failure. And that's stored in Atlanta with fairly high humidity in Case Logic DVD wallets.
Wow. So, Kevin, how do we find out more information about the stuff? You got another tour coming back to San Francisco, your new book, all this cool stuff.
The easiest way to find out what's going on and where I'm going to be teaching is to go to aimsphoto.com and click on the training link. It's all listed right there on a single page. And when there are links that take you to other places to either register or get more information. I'm around the country until through February of this next year.
Yep, and we got a brand new show that we're going to be announcing here real soon. Kevin's going to be involved with part of it, so we got a bunch of cool stuff.
Boy, am I excited. That's going to be so much fun.
We'll talk about that one here coming up very soon. I'd like to thank the guests of today's show. We had Philip Hodges, Andy Shallett, Sam Levin, of course, Kevin Ames here, live in studio from Atlanta, Georgia, Lorene Romero on from the NC Mug Deal, Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News, and of course, our buddy Wilson Rothman from Time Magazine. You can find out more information over at InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be back next week with more great stuff about your Mac. Back.